Channel 1 Right and beginning a visit with Cookie the 6th of February, 72. Channel 1 Right and beginning a visit with Cookie the 6th of February, 72. Channel 1 Right and beginning a visit with Cookie the 6th of February, 72.
She lost it. She herself. She
lost the cat.
Mm-hmm. But she had it just without any trouble. It was that was the one thing that he was sort of worried about, had on his mind. She had it. And we were around. I think he had gone down to see something on the car, and just about an hour, and she came up from the swamp and right out there. And that case just like that, and I was in the house, and I don't know if we'd have been right with her, we might could have saved it. I don't know. But anyway, it was a big one. And she didn't have one minute of trouble.
I thought about it, huh?
I'm telling you, she just walked on off. She didn't know what to do with it, you know.
Oh, yeah. But it was born dead.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, sometimes it happens that way, say, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. But in a way, you know, because we hate to lose a cat, but in a way, it's good she didn't have a cat on.
She'll come right on now and go ahead and make a fabulous cat.
Yeah, she's really pretty.
Well, I've got hey, give me a little coffee.
Celebrate. Cookie's on his feet.
Yeah. Old Roger Caudle, he's your age and healthy and rich and a nice fella. Hey, I'm thinking, hey, got a call down here last week. That virus pneumonia got him.
That's what I was worried about. That's right along the line. I mean, I was really worried about that. I didn't try to show it too much, but.
I don't think if it hangs on, I don't think you're over the danger. I think the danger part is if it hits you and takes you right on.
If it hits you all right now and all that fluid flushes in there, I mean, there ain't no chance for you. There ain't no getting around it now. There ain't no way around it.
Yeah. There you are lying up there with your cheeks ruddy and looking healthy and dead man.
That's just what it boils down to be. I'm still sore through my chest.
Yeah.
I never worked a lick last week. I was off from work all week long.
I was thinking about that.
All week long. I missed a whole week's work.
Yeah, and the buzzers will be falling at you now. Waiting for them payments to fall due.
That's right.
Just getting ready to swoop down. That little heifer had that calf. You was down there. But you didn't see the calf.
You should have come and got me. Maybe we could have saved it.
Well, it's done dead. I think it's born dead. But it was a huge calf and beautiful. Just beautiful. And she was the sweetest thing I ever saw. Right out there, and when I saw it, the buzzards were all surrounding her. And I thought they were going to get it, see. But he'd been there some time and dead, and she was standing there over it.
Well, I told you she'd come along all right. I might be fooled once in a while, but I'm not fooled all the time.
Well, Shirley said she thought she was narrow, and she could have the calf, but the calf wouldn't live. so still don't know exactly what happened. You see, I was so damn screwball, I was down at the junkyard getting the trash out of that gasoline tank. I should have been up here watching after her.
Well, I tell you, she wasn't that narrow.
No.
Definitely not. I mean, if she'd have been so narrow that it would have killed the calf being born, I mean, she'd have had to have some help, and she wouldn't have went through it or come through as quick as she did.
Without any effort.
That's right.
Well, she got through it and got cleaned up and never missed a meal.
All right. Now, she wasn't that narrow. There ain't no way. Now, sometimes, surely he was wrong.
I put them in the rye that morning. I brought them back. They'll come, you know.
Yeah.
And they all came up and was a calf short. And I had some hay in the slip saw. And there she come, just darted in. She'd been up here all the time. She hadn't stayed down there. And it could have been she'd already had that calf. Started in there for a little handout, you know.
Yeah.
She's a great eater.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, I'm sure she
has. The loss of the calf is a loss. I'll grant you that. But what she will, the way she will come out and go ahead and make a bigger cow will make you money in the long run.
Yeah. I think it's. I'm glad it happened the way it did. She didn't have that calf on her all that time.
That's right. Because remember that one last year, that little scrawny calf, and it was
like a sheep.
5 months old and only weighed 210 pounds.
Yeah. There's not many cows that can calve when they're a year and a half old
make anything out of their cell.
Get ahead in the world. Well, last night, cars, if she was sitting down there in the field, I forgot it. I got everything all balled up. We took it in the daylight. I've been feeding them after supper. And I didn't feed the horses last night. I forgot that. I got all balled up. I got the cows in the daylight, beautiful yesterday afternoon, you know, and put that hay out there. And here come the last one. Had a calf yesterday morning. And she came up there. And you can tell when they're right. She's nervous. And the calf was moving a little too fast. And I looked at her and I could see just what it was. The calf had sucked out the two back quarters.
Yeah.
The two front ones are too big for the calf. Well, I'd already put the hay out.
And this is really something.
I had already put the hay out. And you know, if I picked it up, you couldn't put it back in the same space where you hauled it down there. So I thought, well, I'll let them go ahead and eat the hay, and then I'll have to bring them all up, you see.
Yeah.
So we came up here, and I got that old big tit way in there. No trouble. That's the sweetest little calf, and she's pretty, and she's lively. Then I thought, well, sir. If I wait till after supper, it's going to be hard to have in the dark. So we went on back. And they hadn't quite finished. So we picked up what little hay was left, about 15. You know how many stacks I put it out
of? Yeah.
Here we were, picking up the hay.
15, 20 stacks of it, put it in the back of the car, and in the back seat, and the trunk, and the back seat. And then headed them on toward the house. Well, they had used to a lot of things, you know. So we got up here in the bound area. I thought, well, if I can get them in the bound area, I can put it out again, and she'll be right there at that gap, and I can scoot her on in. Well, it worked all right, you see. but I got her up here, and it wasn't any trouble when she got her in the catch. I just milk her out just a little bit, you see, and then turn them out. I haven't seen her this morning, but I'm sure she's all right. But anyhow, I got so rattled, I didn't even remember the car that Chevy was down there. Just set out in the open.
But he wasn't cold, like.
He wasn't cold, no.
No, I didn't know.
He's been taking good care.
Except
it hadn't been cold enough every night to freeze him.
Well, the battery on it is just a little bit on the low side.
It is.
And if it takes the charge out, I'm going to be in bad shape. I'll go down there with the jumpers, and I always get the wrong cables attached. And then yesterday afternoon, I thought, well, I won't use this little Ford tractor. I had to put out, got all that damn fertilizer. I'll put it on the big tractor. It starts. And I got it all on there, but then I couldn't hitch it on. I couldn't get the... And I just saved me. I couldn't remember what in the hell we did to attach the pop take home. I couldn't get the power back there. I had to send back
those
there.
That he has on set. Do you remember?
I got there's three of those extensions, all of the same size.
Yeah, and the one on the big tractor is the same size as all them extensions.
Yeah.
And you gotta do is just put the fire takeoff on there. I mean your dry shaft from your fertilizer spreader right onto the tractor. You don't need one of those extensions.
Would it reach?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't I try that? Not. Well, I couldn't get those chains to work, but they don't have to work.
Not necessarily, no. Now you're talking about now you had a week. Now you just let me give you a little bit of my week. Just a little bit of it.
Do I need to go get an aspirin?
I got a box in my pocket. Now Frank bought him another car. Volkswagen. I went to pick him up the other night from work. Oh, he had fretted with that thing for three nights. He'd worked on it and worked on it and worked on it for three nights. He took the engine out, put a head on it. That's the reason he bought it for $45. Had a bad head on it. Well, I had another engine there, so he took the head off the engine I had and put on it. Got it all fixed up. Got the engine back in it. He couldn't get that thing to hit one lick. It wouldn't run. I let it die. He kept telling me about it, and I let it whip him for three nights. I went to pick him up the other night. I said, Frank, did you ever get that thing run? No, it just won't run. You got fire in your distributor? Yeah. You got gas in your carburetor? Yeah. It's got to run. You get the fire and gas together at the right time, it's got to run. It won't run. I said, well, how'd you got it wired? Got it wired the way the book says. I said, you got wired the way it's supposed to be wired? You got wired the way the book says. 1432. I said, no, you're wrong. I said, that there's a 36 horsepower engine, and it fires 1423. No. 1432. That's what the book says. 61 Volkswagen. I said, okay. And I went out and pulled every wire out of that distributor cap. Pulled them all out. And he had it wired from number 4 on the left-hand bank, because he's left-handed. And he had wired from number 4 on the left-hand bank as number 1 and wired all the way around the thing and had it backwards.
So he's left-handed?
because of that family. There's no way in under the sun for the running. He had prayed it for 3 nights, that thing. I stuck the plug wires in it. I said, turn it over a couple of times and see what happens. He didn't turn it over one time until it cranked off and run. And he looked at me like I was a fool.
Like you was a fool, huh?
Yeah. And then last night, he didn't work. He went out, him and this hippie that Laura ditched, or supposed to have ditched. And he was out until about midnight. I didn't know he wasn't going to work. I go to pick him up, and he ain't nowhere around. He hadn't even worked.
He didn't let on.
No. See, when I came down here to Ed's and picked him up yesterday evening and took him to Gainesville to go to work and dumped him out, and I go back home, and I come back at 11:30 last night to pick him up from work. Well, he hadn't even worked at the station in Gainesville. He was out on the town. I didn't say nothing. So I got him in the truck, and I said, now tomorrow, I think you've edged. And I said, I'm going to try to work tomorrow night, but I'm up against it, which I am. I'm going to try to work tonight. And I said, you got to get you a ride home the best way you can. I said, I made a special effort to come and get you last night, bring you up here, then come and get you, and you don't even work. Now, I said, tomorrow night, you're going to get home the best way you can. Because he's got no insurance on that Volkswagen, and his mama won't let him drive. He hasn't got his grades up to par yet, and his mama ain't going to let him drive.
She's going to take a hand in it, too?
She done got her hand in that pie.
Good for her.
She got her hand in that pie. And I ain't half of it yet. I'm not done yet. Laura, she put in for me to get her another car. Her Cadillac was just eating her up, you know. Which I'll agree, it cost her $70 gas bill last month. That's too much. $70 in 1 month's time is too much gas bill. She can make payments on one and drive a two for that money.
Yeah.
So yesterday morning she lit in on me. I said, okay, Laura, if you want a car, tell me what kind you want and how much money you can pay a month, and I'll see about it. She said, I can pay up to $85 a month. She said, I'm paying $70 a month gas bill now. And I've got to keep at least $20 for jump fees. I said, okay. I picked up the telephone. I called Mike Baldwin up at Stark and asked him what he had. He said, I ain't got a thing in the used car line. Small. But he said, I can get you a new one Monday or Tuesday, and your payments will run you $72 a month on a brand new Chevrolet Nova, 4-door, 6-cylinder, with automatic, just like my truck. I said, hold on a line just a minute. I asked her what she thought about it. She said, Daddy, I might as well be spending my money on something new as throwing it down a drain and not getting nowhere. So, I ordered a brand new car.
Chevy Nova.
6-cylinder, automatic, no power, no air. I mean, just a straight 6-cylinder with an automatic transmission. That's all she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Only she wanted a 4-door sedan. You see, the kid's not, she's not old enough to get out and get one herself, but she's making the money that she can pay for one. And if she wants one, the least I can do is stand behind her and see that she does pay for it. She's making as much, she's taking home right at $180 every 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Well, she's making good money. Of course, now her school, since she started school, that's going to cost her quite a bit of money. She done started a school.
Has she?
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to run that hippie son of a gun and slap out of Florida, because he told me, he said, if you get her going to school, he said, I'll leave the state and won't come back. So I'm going to tell him to pile it on his shoulder and haul it.
Yeah. You mean they just can't cut off those things and they're going to linger, hang on?
They've got no resistance. The younger generation have got no resistance nowadays. None whatsoever. I didn't tell you what Frank got, what I caught Frank into, did I? I mean, all together.
No.
Oh, my gosh. He was headed for destruction, sure enough, last week. He was in the dope, well, he was right in the middle of a dope ring. Right in the middle of it now. What they were doing, I hate to say this, him being my son, but it's the truth, I caught him red-handed. Him and this Ronnie, and Ronnie's two buddies, hippie buddies, long hair and beard, and Frank, the four of them, they were getting out at night and doping up these girls and getting them a picture of them in the nude, then selling the picture for a fabulous amount of money, see? Selling them the dope for a big price, then getting a picture of them and selling the picture for a big amount of money.
Mm.
See, old daddy, he was young one night last week.
Yeah.
I played young, and I just played my cards right in their hand. And boy, they just let it all out to me. Well, what they don't know is this. I called Lieutenant Beach on the Gainesville Police Force. Walter Beach, you probably know him from up at the station.
I don't know him, except I've heard you talk about him.
Yeah.
Day.
Well, I called him, and he said, well, Cookie, he said that I've got a plan that'll work right in with that. He said, I've got a group of men on the Gainesville Police Force. He said, they're the scroungiest, dirtiest, filthiest. He said, they're the hippiest looking things that you ever saw. But he said, they're intelligent. And they're on the Gainesville Police Force as detectives. He said, they're the scroungiest looking thing that you ever saw. He said, you tell me the spot that this is going on at, and he said, my men, he said, now they play cards with them.
Yeah.
So I named the spot. I told them what time the event was going to take place last Sunday. And it did. And I think they got two of them.
That'll go hard with them.
Oh, my gosh. That'll really go hard with them boys. Yeah.
They don't just pick them up and let them out.
No, sir. I think they've got them, got some more stuff hung on them. And these hippie, scroungy-looking things is the one that played cards with them and just arrested them on the spot. Because they were detectives and they knew what they were doing. So anymore, you don't know what kind of a policeman you're running up on.
Yeah.
And if Frank gets in trouble, I can't help it. He has had better teachings. Now, if he gets in trouble, why, the hired list has to slip.
Well, now, he got into this through Ronnie.
Right.
And if you run this one Ronnie out of town, there'd be six more to take his place?
I imagine so, but I'm going to run him out. I'm going to tell him. If I, next time I see him, I'm going to say, now look, you told me if I get Laura in school and get her settled down, that you would pile it on your shoulder and haul it. So just get start piling, buddy, because she's in school. She's off Monday and Tuesday nights permanent. She goes to school Monday and Tuesday nights until April. Then she will go, she will work a morning shift at the hospital. She'll go to school every night during the week. She's got a tight schedule. She's going to have a tight one. I want it that way.
Well, now, if it had been that way, a lot of this wouldn't have happened.
That's right, but I couldn't get her settled down. But see, the thing of it was, she kept us in the dark. She was ashamed of herself.
Yeah.
Because she didn't make a big... that girl was ashamed of herself, and she kept it from us.
And that went on... How long did that go on?
All summer long and all fall, up until just the other day from the time she graduated. You see, right after she graduated, well, she went and took that test.
Yeah.
And she just didn't pass it.
And she knew it, and you didn't.
She knew it, and she wouldn't tell us. For if I'd have known it then, well, I could have went to work and I helped her, and I don't know everything, but I do know a few corners I can cut. We could have got her in school and got her refreshed up and got her to pass that bar test. She could have been on, she'd have been going to nursing training right now instead of going to refresher school.
Been way ahead.
But she wouldn't tell us.
And all that time she was just putting in her time on the side.
Putting in her time on the side and depressed, downhearted, and didn't care what happened to her or nothing.
No fun.
No.
Out here, Cookie, she was always right lively.
Yeah, but you see, I mean, she got depressed and I don't know what happened to her. Last Saturday, she had a ball. Really, she did.
Oh, really?
Now, those three girls that came out there, they were real nice. I mean, they didn't stand back and wait for somebody to go ahead and do something. They got right in there with it.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. Leonard's girlfriend, Rick's girlfriend, and then Leonard's girlfriend's sister from Tampa came up.
Yeah.
And they went backward. I mean, they jumped right in there.
Yes.
They sure did. And I was surprised at Leonard. Really, I was.
Yeah.
Underneath, I mean, there's a lot of good, he got a lot of good features underneath.
Yeah.
But you've got to get underneath to get him.
Yeah.
He came over there and I told him, I said, now Leonard, I'm feeling bad. And I said, here it is, take over. I said, you're going to cut the ham tonight.
Mm-hmm.
No, he said, I never cut one. I said, now it's a good time to learn.
Yeah.
Get that knife and get up and get busy.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
Yeah.
He took over. Everybody had a ball, and they took the kids out there on them horses. Leonard and Rick and Frank. And Frank took this other boy's girlfriend away from him. And I thought they were going to have a few words. And I pulled Frank off and told him, I said, you better calm down just a little bit. I said, there'll be another day. So Frank, he calmed down a little bit. Then went ahead and rode horses. I mean, till way late. Helen, it's about 9 o'clock when they left there. And Helen had to go to work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We had all the lights on, the torch lit, and everything. They had a ball now. There ain't no getting around about it. And them girls, I mean, when they got one, I told them that Helen had to go to work. Them girls, they just dropped everything, their play. They started gathering up things and went in that trailer and washed up all the dishes and everything.
Is that right?
They sure did. I couldn't ask for people to be any nicer to me than they were last Saturday night.
That was nice.
And it's all together.
Working together. Laura was right in with them. I mean, she just had a ball, laughing and riding the horses and kicking and cuffing, and she just had a good time.
Well, now that's the one thing we haven't had out here.
We haven't had a good get together. I mean, and they see Laura's off on Monday and Tuesday nights, and Helen's off on Sunday night and Monday night.
Well, we never have had anything where everybody got together.
That's right.
We might sit down and eat together, but then we'd separate.
That's
right. Some go one way, some another.
And most of the time, the dishes and everything was left for one individual, or maybe two individuals to clean up. But over there, they all got together. Even them little girls got in there and helped, and everybody, I mean, in a matter of 10 minutes, they had everything cleaned up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have thought and thought and thought about that. You see, up there where you'd brought up, everybody, you see, they go to the picnic and they just all take part.
That's right.
That's the way we was brought up, Cookie. But something has happened since then, and I'll be darned if I know what it is. And I just don't know. Now, you take those fellas I bring out here from the office. They are not, they're not highbrow. You see, they're nothing like that. But let me tell you, I don't know what it is, but they are so tied down. They are tied up with so many things in that office, they haven't got any brain left. And I don't care who is out here. They just sit down there and eat with them and go on and do something else. Mm-hmm. Well, now, let me tell you, this neighborhood is falling apart.
Well, I noticed that Thanksgiving. Now, what kind of Thanksgiving gathering did they have over here this past year?
Yeah.
I mean, when 4 years ago, why, they had, I mean, it was a real big thing.
Yeah.
Anymore, it's just a...
Well, you see, Buddy there, his children were all there. He's got one boy, still going to school. But he stays over with his sister-in-law. He don't want to stay there. And he got the one boy that's working for Winn-Dixie and load them big trucks. He's a stock boy. He's the one that's got them old cars down there and he can't make them run. He just in and out, just eats there, you see.
Yeah.
Sleeps there. He uses his mama's car when his won't run. So you see, he not there. Well, there's nobody at Miss Daisy's household anymore, and she's all alone. Ben died, you see.
Yeah.
Down there where old Turpentine went, them folks is all gone. And they got a young couple in there, and they never hear from, never even see them. Down the road here, where Amy Walker used to live, and old Brown, I used to stop there and talk to them all the time. It was one of my headquarters.
Yeah?
But it ain't anymore. Nudie's there. She used to work up at the campus, and her husband works at, he cooks at one of those turn houses. The only way you see him is when he gets his gun, walks up and down that road looking for a squirrel. So it's just like living over there in the horse, racehorse community. You don't see anybody anymore.
Yeah.
But now Miss Daisy, you talk to her, and she knows these people from the generations way back. She knows all of them. But these people don't know anybody.
Well, I'll tell you. I don't know what's happened to the country. But I can drive down through Hawthorne. I did the other day. And there ain't nobody left over there.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody left over there. I don't see how in the world that place exists. No more people than they are there.
Yeah. Nobody to holler at.
No. And if you do, you yell at somebody, well, they're just as apt to tell you go to hell as look at you.
Yeah.
That's just the way they live. I mean, I've got no... Well, I just ain't going to drive down through town no more. It's an insult. 10 years ago, you could drive down through town, and is everybody speaking to you? And old man Guy Lindsay, if you saw him, now you stop and talk to him, because he'd walk right out and lean up against your car. You talk to him.
He's gone.
Well, he's gone, see. Old Fred Williams, you talk to him.
You know, it's a curious thing. We've been down in Florida about the same time and seen about the same things happen. I wasn't out of Hawthorne. I was out towards Newberry.
Yeah.
I just happened to be on that side. And I've been thinking about old Bunny Hope. He brought up down here. And he got a job up there on the campus, in the maintenance part of it. I used to go out there and talk to Bunny and help him put his tobacco lot within and one thing or another. And they called him lazy. But I don't think it was that so much. He was just willing to talk. He hadn't learned just to stand there with a broom and not talk to anybody.
Well, you take over Chester Hutchins, owner of Hutchins Furniture and Appliances. I mean, he ain't got time to even pass time of day with an ordinary man. No. I bought lots of stuff from him. And that son of a gun, he ain't even got time to pass time of day with me.
Busy.
He's too busy, yeah. I can meet him on the street, and he never looks down. His head's up in the air. He don't even look down. I'm trash under his feet.
Yeah. You don't know what happened. You don't talk to him.
He won't talk to a man.
No, you can't get to him anymore, so you don't know what's happening.
You don't know what's happening, that's right.
You know, it ain't that he feels like he's too good for people. There's always something there, because if you just know what it is, and it's very hard to find out. And you got no business finding out, so, I mean, you got no reason to go around and find out.
And I asked him, so, I mean, I just let him alone.
That's right. So many people are letting people alone now, is one thing. I don't know. The first thing I did when I came down here, they had a little party for the Arts and Science College. That's the little niche that I'm in over there. Well, you talk about waifs and strays. They've got the most diverse and divergent people in that one little college, you see. And all of them just feel like kicking the others.
Yeah.
They got nothing in common. People in psychology and sociology and all those things, and none of them give a hoot about anybody, about what they do. Geography, anthropology. You see, it's just poison. I remember that picnic I went to, and I went up and spoke to the dean, Miles' name, glad to see you. Why, he looked sue me. I tried another time or two, and you know what I did? I just let him alone. I never went back. I never went to another meeting of his. Well, I didn't know what it was. And you see, I was just new here, and he didn't know me, and there's all these other people on him all the time, and he didn't have any reason to say, page my name. His reactions were different. And I'm, you see how it goes.
Yeah.
And I think I've been as probably worse than the others. I let them go, if they want to speak.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a number of occasions like that. You talk about Hawthorne. You and Hawthorne. You ought to seen me in the university.
I know. Yeah. At least I could drive on through, and you couldn't, could you? Hardly.
Well, I don't know. I have a feeling we did about the same thing, except you probably were more vigorous about it than I was. You may have got farther than I did. See, I didn't get anywhere.
I didn't either. Only straight on through town and got back home.
Yeah.
How many calves you got?
Well, I still got a few more.
Yeah?
Yes. A few more to go. I was just going down there and crank up and see those cows and see, you know, if there's anybody here this morning. New arrival.
Well, I bet you. You could get some company.
Well, we got a look around. Oh, shoot, fire. I can steer. Well, hello there. He needs to get out, see?
I've got two over the trailer. Can't you catch
him? Wait a minute. I'll catch him. I'll catch him on the trailer. Come on, baby.
Let me see, Cookie. Let me put on my old...
this time went right on a new reel around 775, around 775 on a new reel. Channel went right on a new reel, and the beginning, end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 6th of February, 72. This is Channel went right on a new reel around 775, and the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 6th of February, 72.